They have me on. I do. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see everybody here this afternoon. And there's a little ringing little echo going on there. It's good to see everybody here. A couple of notes for the Widow's Walk. We had wanted to get around a kind of a St. Patrick's Day thing at Love and Care on the 15th, which is a Saturday, at 2 o'clock, and that's a go. We just need to figure out what we're going to be doing with them, with the residents there when we get there. So if we had that plan ahead of time, they could go ahead and announce it on their end, and that usually is a draw for the residents as well to be able to come and be part of that with us. So that's good news, and heard that Bob's going to be all dressed up for the event as a leprechaun. We all voted him to do that. So. Unanimously, because he didn't show up right away, and that's what happens when you don't walk in right away, right? Yeah. The other thing is, please do keep Angie in your prayers. As many of you know, her father passed away. It was on late Friday night, anyway, she's struggling with that. And for various reasons, but there's a story there. But anyway, just please keep her in prayer. No, Angie Kishorek, my Angie. Her dad, down in Missouri, passed away. He was down DeSoto, Missouri. But he was 77 years old, I think. Yep, so anyway, big struggle there. So just keep her in prayer. She's doing okay, but, you know, it's a struggle. So, any other thoughts or announcements before we get started? Okay, let's go to God in prayer before we begin our class. Father in heaven, we're so very grateful that you have loved us and that you have given us your son Jesus, that because of his work on the cross, that we are able to become your children, that we are able to be adopted as your sons and daughters, and with that comes so many blessings that are found only in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand that in today's lesson, that it comes from hearing the word of truth that comes through your holy scriptures, that when we read about what we need to do, that living and active word, that we are able to obey that gospel and be adopted as your children, to live in all of the blessings that you continually give us. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. And so we also are having a time change very soon here, but we are going to keep the 1 o'clock class going through the end of March. So we do 6 months on, 6 months off. So we do October through the end of March with the 1 o'clock class. And then starting April through the end of September, we'll do just the 7 o'clock class. And that's when it's lighter out. And we often have our summer series and that kind of thing going on too. So 1 o'clock class will become difficult, I think, in that for that time frame. So anyway, just a further thought there before we jump into things. And so here we are. We're talking about speaking the truth in love. And that's really the key part of that verse, that phrase that we're focusing in on here for the next lesson or two, and speaking the truth in love. And one of the big things that we know that Scripture is basically a love letter from God. We know that God loves us and loves us so deeply that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And so when you heard the word of truth is our title here today. How do you hear the word of truth? Well, we read it. God has given us His word as a love letter of a type here. And what does this mean when He has given us this love letter and we have obeyed that love letter, obeyed that gospel, and we are now redeemed in Him? What is really involved with all of that? In today's study, we're going to be seeing that it is an adoption process. that God brings us through. That we were children of the world when we were dead in our sins and separated from God. And what Jesus does by offering to us the gospel is that he offers to us for us to be adopted out of the world, severing, cutting all of the ties that we had with the world, and now we belong to God as his children and what's really involved with that. And we're going to see that in today's lesson. But first of all, this is from Sunday. This was our passage that we looked at. It says, "And he called the people to him," meaning Jesus, "and said to them, hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. Then the disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" See, the Pharisees thought that they were representative of leaders of God's people. They believed that they were the ones who were part of the covenant and part of God's people, that the old covenant was all that there was, and that they didn't understand that it couldn't be just an external relationship with God. That Jesus even calls them out on this and says that their lips are saying one thing, but their heart is far from him. And so that's not really the kind of true worshipers that God was looking for. And so they weren't really God's children. And so when you are offended by the truth of the gospel, why would you be offended by that if you truly were God's child? You should love to hear what God has to say. You should love to live out the principles of what God wants to say. You can say with your lips that you are a Christian, that you belong to Christ, but if your heart is far from God, then you're not going to be truly his. You're only saying it in words, but it's not really an internal, from your inner being, belonging to God. And that's why they were offended when they heard this saying. He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up." God wouldn't do that with his own children. God loves his children. He's going to protect them. He loves them so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. So of course, we can see that God has a very different relationship with those who are his, and the Lord knows whose are his. And so we know from that love letter that he's given to us how it is that we obey that gospel and become his. And that's what we're going to be looking at a little bit today. And so here we have Jesus on the cross, but we see another figure in this painting. And one thing I liked about this painting was we're told to do what it says here in Mark 8, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I think that says a lot about who Jesus' true followers are. It's not just somebody who might wear a cross or call themselves a Christian, or maybe goes to church every once in a great while but continues to live how they want to live for their own selves throughout the week. It's somebody who is denying himself, taking up his cross, and following Jesus. And so you see that man with another cross, his own cross that he's carrying, hugging Jesus at the cross, and you can see the close relationship and companionship that he might share with Jesus. I think this is a good picture to illustrate this particular verse of Mark 8 and verse 34. And the relationship that we should have as true worshipers, to worship him in spirit and in truth, I think this is a good representative of that. And so here's our main passage today is from Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to back up to the very beginning of this to be able to get the relationship here of who we're talking about before we get to the main verse, which is towards the end of our lesson today. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints." He's speaking to those who have already obeyed the gospel, to those who are sanctified or set apart for a particular purpose to serve God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. It's not faithful who are outside of Christ Jesus, because biblically there's no such thing. It's always in Christ Jesus that is the only way we can be in a right relationship with God. And so folks who might claim, hey, I'm a Christian, all I had to do was say I believed, or all I had to do was walk through the doors of a church building and suddenly I'm a member, process they think that it took to become a Christian, that's not biblical. What's biblical is they are saints when they are in Christ Jesus. So the question we should be asking ourselves is how did they come into Christ Jesus? And what does it mean when they are in Christ Jesus? And that's what we're looking to answer today. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 expands this idea a little bit and says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, power from God, giving us everything that we need for our lives to walk in as Jesus walked, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, and godliness, to be like God, and that's one of the fruits of the Spirit that we have. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Where do we get that knowledge of Him? The Scriptures, that love letter that we're talking about. We're going to come around full circle to that at the end of the lesson as we heard the word of truth and what that really means. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Wow. That means we share DNA with God. He is going to allow us, His divine power has granted to us everything that we might need so that we can become partakers of the divine nature. That we can become children of God, that in the very essence that we are made like Him in every way, in the image of God, so that we could also share in everything that is God's. That if Christ is the heir, then we can also can be co-heirs with Christ. How is that possible? We go back to our main passage in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Those blessings are not found outside of Christ. Somebody outside of Christ who's not done what they need to do to obey that gospel and come into Christ might say that they're a Christian, might say that, you know, God loves them and that they are legitimate children with God, but it's just words. Their heart has to be there as well. Living out faithfully the gospel that they had promised to obey when they came into Christ. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. So, we choose to come into Christ, but He chose us in Him. He desired for all men to come to repentance. 2 Peter, we can see that being talked about. But yet we know that the way is broad that leads to destruction and the way is narrow that leads to eternal life, and very few find it. He chose us in Him, but we need to also choose to obey the gospel to allow that sacrifice to cleanse us of sins, that we might be holy and blameless before Him. Ephesians 4 talks about that process of coming into Him and what it truly means to have a heart that is also ready for God, to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. It says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Partakers of the divine nature, that we can have true righteousness and holiness, not from anything that we've done, but because of what Christ has done on our behalf by going to the cross and giving us that ability to become partakers of the divine nature, likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we come back to this cross idea, and we can see what true love is all about, because that's really what it all comes down to. Any relationship that we're going to have with God is going to be because of love, because He loved us and gave Himself up for us that we might love Him in return. It's not that we love God first. He loved us first. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's a big word which means appeasement or satisfaction for the sins that we have done. There was a debt that was owed, and we couldn't pay it back ourselves, and so Jesus became the propitiation for our sins. He was able to appease the wrath of God through the sacrifice of what He did on that cross. And that indeed is where we go next in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. The last two words of verse 4 says, in love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. First of all, take a look at the love that's going on and the relationship that we are looking to have as His children to our Heavenly Father. He did it out of love. In love He predestined us for adoption as sons. And we're blessed where? In Christ, in the Beloved, in the One who is loved by us in return. So it's love that God is giving to us, but we in turn are, you know, giving back that love and that relationship because of what Christ has done for us. He has blessed us in the Beloved. I want to talk about adoption a little bit, because there's a lot of rights that you can have if you are adopted versus if you're not adopted. We had, and I think I've mentioned this in a previous lesson at some point, we had a young lady through Family Corps from 2013 to 2017. She came to us at 13 years of age and left at 17 years of age. And we had Article 10 and then Article 6 custody, or vice versa, I forget what it was. It wasn't a full adoption, but basically we had guardianship over her through Family Court to allow us to take care of her needs. It was a step below having parental rights. We didn't have those rights. Her parents still retained those rights, even though they could only be with her with our supervision. And so it was a different kind of situation. She was not our adopted daughter. She was only under our care. Now, it doesn't mean that we loved her any less. We loved her quite a bit. But when it comes to the legal things, she didn't have the same rights as my own children. I have a son and two daughters. And when Lori passed, and I had to write the obituary, I had to write that we had three children. And I could write that we had three others that were like daughters to us. I mentioned Madison, the young lady I'm speaking about, and then two exchange students that we had from Japan that I still keep in contact with. And so it was a very different kind of situation and setup. If there was any inheritance that was going to come from Lori passing away, or a little bit later on when her dad passed away, and there was some money there that was to be given to the kids to give them a good start in life, it didn't go to Madison. She wasn't a daughter. It was only meant for his grandkids, which would have been, my son and the two daughters. And so there's a different thing there going on. And a lot of times you hear folks out in the world say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but they've never obeyed the gospel. They've never come into Christ, where all the blessings are found. They've never come into Christ to be partakers of the divine nature. That doesn't mean that God loves them any less. In love, he predestined us. He desired for all of us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. But not everybody takes him up on that. We had legal paperwork for Madison through family court that we had to keep in a binder and all of that to show that we were her guardians. But we did not have any adoption papers. And so there were things that we had to consult her parents about because those ties weren't severed. There were a lot of different ramifications that went on because of the legalities of what happened there. And so what is involved with adoption in a biblical sense? We have to look at the ancient biblical practices or the ancient practice of ancient times when the Bible was written to be able to understand what that first century audience would have understood when Paul wrote this, that we are being in love, being predestined to be adopted as sons. What would they have understood about that particular process? And it says in ancient Rome, adoption was a legal procedure that created a new family relationship between a child and an adult male. The adopted child took on the adoptive father's name and became an heir to his property. Now that's straight from Google. That's not what I made up. This is, you know, if it's on the internet, you know it's got to be true. So there we go. We've got it right there, right? Okay. But I think probably as a custom and a culture describing what was going on in the first century, I don't have any reason to doubt that this was the practice. This is probably what it was. And so in ancient Rome, we could see that there was a new family relationship, meaning that the old family relationship to who that person belonged to before is now cut or severed, and they now belong to that new family relationship that we would have in a spiritual sense between us and God, our Heavenly Father. We take on the adoptive Father's name, and so there's our Heavenly Father's name. We are now called by Christ, right? That is the name that we are called as Christians. And we become an heir to everything that is His. Do we have an heir, do we have an inheritance at all if we are outside of Christ? No, you have to be in Christ Jesus to be adopted legally in order to be an inheritor of everything that is your Heavenly Father's. Indeed, as we get a little deeper into these practices, it says the adoption ceremony was performed by a magistrate, such as a praetor in Rome. Okay, so there had to be some kind of ceremony that happened there. We can see from a biblical standpoint that we have baptism, which now saves us. And we know that as we look in Scripture and can see the process for baptism and what happens there, we know that we die to sin. The old man is crucified, and the old man of sin, and then we rise to walk as a new creation. So we can see the ceremony that is there as we die to self and live for God, live for Christ from then on. The natural father emancipated the child, meaning that they let him go. And in this case, it would be the world for us, wouldn't it? When we were in sin and we were separated from God, the world had us. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin, Jesus says, John 8, verse 34. And so we can see that we belong to the world, and somebody who says, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, I repent of my sins, I confess him as Lord, I'm going to now die to my ties that I have to the old world. I'm no longer going to live for my old self. I'm going to rise as a new creation. The natural father emancipates the child. The world cuts those ties. And the adoptive father, our Heavenly Father in this case, accepted the child through in jure cessale. What does that mean? I put it in parentheses. A transfer of ownership through a legal action is what that means. I had to look that up too. And it was on the internet, so it's got to be true as to what that means. So transfer of ownership through a legal action. And so this adoption of as a son is something that is binding. It's legal. Legally binding. And God is adopting you from the world so we can no longer live in the world any longer. That's dead to us. And we now live as his child because we have been adopted in every legal sense to live for Christ forevermore. The adopted child became part of the adoptive family. Here's part of the church. This is why you don't have a vote and say, okay, so-and-so came into Christ 2 weeks ago. Now we're here all together. Let's have a vote. Do we want him in the family or not? We don't do that here. You're born into a family. You don't stand at a window of a maternity ward and say, okay, everybody in favor of the baby here becoming part of our family, raise your hand. You know, that doesn't happen. The baby is born into the family, and this is how we're born into the family of God. The adoptive child becomes part of the adoptive family and took on the adoptive father's name. That's a pretty powerful understanding of what Jesus has done for us on that cross and our responsibilities because of that. The adopted child's previous debts, responsibilities, and commitments were erased. So the debt of sin that we all owed, whenever we have fallen short of the glory of God and we have earned death by our sins, the wages of sin is death, all of that is wiped out. All of that is gone. The adoptive father has paid the price. Takes care of all of the previous debts. Any responsibilities, things that you felt like you owed the world, that you needed to still complete because you were part of that friends group and the way they talked and the things that they did and places they went, all of that is gone, erased. You no longer have an obligation to the world to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Instead, we live for Christ. All of those things are gone. And the adopted child took on new rights and responsibilities. We rise to walk as a new creation. No longer for our old life, which is dead, nailed to the cross, but instead, we are Christ. You had a question, thought?
I understand the analogy. Mm-hmm. Role reversal for Christians. We choose Christ rather than as an adopted child.
Yes, there's a sense in which we do need to choose to obey the gospel, yes. But the only reason why we can do that is because he chose us first.
Sure.
Yeah.
It looks like, like I said, I understand the analogy.
Yeah.
What you're saying, why doesn't he choose everyone?
Well, he does. He desires for everyone to repent and come to eternal life, but we don't all choose him. Yeah. Romans 3 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, there's that word again, appeasement of wrath, by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. There's the adoption process. That's what he did in order to bring us out of the world and to make us his own. Who had it? Terry?
As it says there, he passed over sin in this case. You can't help but think that first Passover in Egypt.
Oh.
How without obedience, Right. Even if they would have been Hebrew, they were done.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't obey and put the blood on the doorposts on that first Passover, yeah, they would have died as well. Yeah. Yeah, good point. Good point. Okay, we're back to our main passage here, Ephesians, and we're back to the in him. It's not outside of him. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. It shouldn't be any doubt by the end of this lesson that there are no blessings outside of Christ, that there are many people who might deceive themselves into thinking they're okay when they're really outside of Christ, and that we really need to look at the scriptures to say, how can I come into Christ? How can I do this in the right way to make sure that I am truly and legally adopted as his child so that I can be a co-heir with Christ? Which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So all things would be united, and which means that they weren't united before, that because of sin entering the world, there was that separation from God. And so Jesus was able to unite all things by his work on the cross, and this happened in the fullness of time. All of time has been about the implementation of God's plan for Jesus to go to the cross. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. So there's again the adoption process and how it was that God set this forth. He had to wait for the fullness of time to come for him to enact the plan so that the blood of the cross could stretch in both directions. In his forbearance, he overlooked sins for a certain period of time, waiting for the payment of Jesus on the cross to pay for those sins. And ahead of time, into our time, where the blood of the cross could stretch out for those who obey the gospel. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. Why? To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. There's that phrase again. That was the whole reason for everything that we have recorded. For bringing about a people through Abraham, a people of faith, and then sending Moses to lead God's people, to take a people as his own at Mount Sinai with the old covenant, that over and over again as they fell short and God was trying to call them back into a right relationship, he sent prophet after prophet and gave them the law that they might look at it and say, how is it I'm supposed to be living? And finally, the fulfillment of all of that in Jesus going to the cross on our behalf to allow us to be able to pick up God's love letter that we might hear the word of truth, so that we can obey it and be adopted as sons, that we might be redeemed so that we might receive adoption as sons. We can't be adopted until we've been redeemed, or if that process happens as we are redeemed and we're born into Christ. Back to Ephesians 1, in him we have obtained an inheritance. Again, how do you get an inheritance? It's not unless you are a child, right? People who are not part of the family, outside of the family, aren't going to receive an inheritance. In him, not outside of him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ, again, you can't hope outside of Christ, it's only in Christ that we can hope, might be to the praise of his glory. Romans 8, verse 16 and 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So if we are children of God, then we have an inheritance. We only get that inheritance if we are in Him. We can see the process of coming into Him is to obey that gospel. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs. We need to be a child of God in order to inherit. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. That speaks about living faithfully after we have obeyed the gospel. That means after the adoption process, we just can't say, I'm sorry, God, thanks for erasing all my debts and everything, but I'm going to live my own life the way I want to live it and go off back into the world and do the things that you did before. We have to live as a child of God to stay within the will to inherit along with Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 says, and here's our main passage for today, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. How would a legal document be official? It would have to have a court seal on it, wouldn't it? Something of that judge, of that court, to be able to say that this is the official document, this is the legal document. You can't even do anything without an official birth certificate. And how oftentimes do you get asked to mail that in or something, right? And we just don't like to do it, right? It's got to have that raised seal on it and whatever else. We know that that's the official one. You just can't go make a photocopy and send in a photocopy. You've got to have the official one. We were sealed in Him with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. That's what we need in Christ Jesus, isn't it? We hear the word of truth. We believe what God says. He's spoken the truth in love. We know it's in love because He sent His Son to die for us when He could have just washed His hands and walked away and let us go, but He didn't. In love, He sent His Son as a propitiation for us, and we believe that, we obey that, and now we live that. We're sealed in Him with the promised Holy Spirit. It's a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. When's that going to happen? After we pass. This is why we look forward in hope to going to eternity and being with Him one day. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. This is not where I lay up my treasures. My treasures laid up beyond the azure blue. Right? This is not... If this is world is all we have to hope in, we're to be pitied more than other men, all men. We need to acquire possession of it. But where is that inheritance? We have the guarantee of our inheritance. That's the Holy Spirit that He has given to us if we are in Christ. And we know that if we obey the gospel, right? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, right? And we know that when we are, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the last part of that verse. It's a guarantee that we will acquire possession of it one day. We have part of God dwelling within us to the praise of His glory. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 1 says, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Where is it? Kept in heaven. God is holding on to it. He knows who are His. And we have been given His Spirit that we're not to grieve by sinful ways. That's possible. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. We need to be living faithfully before Him so that way one day when we pass in the Lord and we are called up there to give an account of our life, Jesus, our high priest, who is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, will say, that's one of ours. Right? We've got his inheritance kept because he is a child of God. What a beautiful thing. And it all comes from hearing the word of truth. We're to speak the truth in love. We're to take that wonderful good news of great joy and to take it forth into the world and say, you need to hear this word of truth. I'm speaking to you right now this truth in love because of the love that Christ had for me when I was a sinner and separated from him. And this is the inheritance that I now have in heaven, kept there for me. Romans chapter 8, as we talk about God's word being a love letter, we can see here the description of that love letter. It says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's our Heavenly Father, and we are his children. We're made his children only because of the love that he had to send his son to die for us so that we could come into that relationship, be adopted as sons, to have the full rights and responsibilities of being a child of God, to be have an inheritance, to be a co-heir with Christ who did that for us. What a wondrous relationship we have. Do you realize the relationship that you have or could have in Christ? It might be that you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know that I've been living that out. I've been living as if this world is my home and that I don't really, am not really loved by God, and that I don't really recognize that he is a loving Heavenly Father. Maybe you've never begun a relationship. Maybe you need to have that relationship renewed through the prayers, the encouragement, support of your people, of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you recognize the word of truth as a love letter from God? And if there's a need to respond, please do so as we have a prayer, and then we'll have our announcements. Almighty Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We're thankful for the adoption as sons that you have brought us to, that we can be your children, that we don't need to live as outside of Christ, outside of the relationship with you. And no matter how we might work it around in our minds and deceive ourselves, that only by obeying the gospel in the way that you have said, by going through the legal process of adoption, that we can truly be yours and be a co-heir with Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would prick the hearts of each and every one of us here to recognize the relationship that we could have or we do have, and what a wondrous thing it is that you would help us, Lord, to take that forth, that we might speak the truth in love to all those around us of what a wondrous salvation has come about because of a God who loved us. It's through your Son, Jesus, we pray.